Battle stations.
Karate ships are closing.
To fight a new breed of enemy.
What is this thing?
Earth's last hope is a new generation of warrior.
Lieutenant Christopher Blair.
Todd, Maniac Marshall.
I got two bogeys coming in hot.
Let's do it.
Freddie Prinze Jr., Saffron Burroughs, Matthew Lillard, Checky Cario, Wing Commander.
I love this baby!
Rated PG-13, parents strongly caution.
This week in your parents' basement, we're taking a trip through the galaxy in a starfighter that the Academy somehow overlooked. From 1999, we're watching Wing Commander, directed by Chris Roberts and starring Freddie Prinze Jr., Matthew Lillard, and Saffron Burroughs. I'm Steve Greenwald, and with me is the co-host that loves him some cat people. It's Todd Angel Brisket.
Why do you think they call me Angel?
All right.
Oh, and our other co-host, he saw this movie in theaters. Somehow, it's Huel Maniac Hauser.
If you die, you never existed. Understand?
You can reach us by email at parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Subscribe to us on Spotify, Google Play, or iTunes. And when you do, be sure to give us some stars. You can also join our Discord channel by going to ybbpodcast.com/Discord, where you can chat with all the sweet baby boys. And hey, everybody, we want to profit from your spending on Amazon. You can find our click-through link for Amazon on the YPB homepage, ybbpodcast.com. The homepage is also where you can find our archive, which is accessible by clicking the button on the top of the page. Our live show feed has only the most recent 150 episodes, so don't miss out on other hot, hot, hot video game IPs we've covered, like The Wizard and Street Fighter. This week's movie is Wing Commander. This film came out in 1999, which was 3 years after the last main game in the series and 2 years after the last spinoff, and a new game wouldn't come out until 2007. So it seems like an odd choice for IP to bring to the silver screen. The film stars former WWE writer Freddie Prinze Jr., the star of Scooby-Doo Matthew Lillard, and noted Law & Order detective Saffron Burroughs. It was filmed in Luxembourg with post-production done in Austin, Texas.
Ooh.
Huel, you mentioned that you had seen this in theaters, which immediately made me want to cover it on the show. Do you remember the circumstances of that, or what you initially thought of the movie?
Oddly enough, I know exactly why I saw this in theaters. in 1996, I think, or 7, or maybe it's... Whenever Scream came out, I was in middle school, and my friends and I were obsessed with it. We loved it. We watched it a lot.
Now, you're talking about Scream. The movie Scream and not the duet between Janet and Michael Jackson.
We were also obsessed with that, but I'm specifically talking about the Wes Craven horror movie. So we had like a mask and everything. We'd run around, pretend to stab each other. It was great times. But Matthew Lillard in that movie played Stu, who, spoiler alert, turned out to be one of the killers.
Mm-hmm.
And he was one of our favorite characters. Like he puts it up. Yeah. A bonkers performance in that movie. It's wonderful. So we found out he was going to be in Wing Commander. So we're like, I think one of us had played it or something. So we're like, all right, yeah, Matthew Lillard's going to be in Wing Commander. We got to go see it. I remember literally nothing about this movie. It's
Matty Lills.
Besides, I guess he was in it. Which
SLC
I found out again,
Punk himself, yeah.
The Punk himself when I watched it. So it's not surprising watching it again that I don't remember anything about it.
Yeah.
Because it's not, like, it's known kind of as a really bad movie, but it's just a really average movie. Like, it's not so bad you're going to remember anything about it.
Exactly. And I watched it for the first time a few days ago, and I do not remember a single plot point in this thing.
It's so generic. It's the most generic war/space movie. It's just like you've got the kid who shouldn't be there, and one of his officers doesn't like him because he's racist.
Like space racism.
There's space racism.
It's not based on the color of your skin, just your class.
Yeah. Freddie Prinze Jr., one of the whitest people on Earth, is like is half a pilgrim, which were one of the first.
Hey, don't say the P word.
I'm sorry.
You're not one. You can't say it.
You can say it with an M on the end, Todd.
It's okay.
Pilgrim. So the Pilgrims were like the first people to go explore and colonize space or something. And apparently they got weird navigational powers and thought they were gods. So like real humans went against them. And now I don't know if they're all dead. They didn't really explain that. I think they are. But Freddie Prinze.
Well, they died in the Pilgrim Wars, as said in this movie. I do remember sure. that.
Yeah, the Pilgrim Wars. But his mom was half Pilgrim. So whenever he tells people that, like, they're all like prejudiced against him. These are all other white people, by the way, that are prejudiced against Freddie Prinze Jr. So it's like he's got a commanding officer who doesn't like him. You got like the wacky friend, Matthew Lillard. You've got the sexy coworker who's actually his boss and
sassy,
flirty. Yeah. You got the guy.
Doesn't take any guff.
Yeah, you got someone who thinks they think they're dead, but they come back. Like it's so many cliches.
They got the square jawed Australian rival.
That is one thing I thought was fun. Is since it is, I guess, the future and everyone's working together. There's a lot of different accents in this movie. I guess representing that all of humanity's working at once. But they also said that the Pilgrims had done all this stuff like 500 years ago. So I would think even further into the future. So shouldn't everyone be talking the same by this point? I don't know.
Yeah, well, I mean, they should have the Pilgrims should at least have space accents. And
well,
we never
meet a real Pilgrim.
True, that's true. But like a show that does this very well is the show called The Expanse. I don't know if you fellas have seen or not, but it's like it takes place only in our solar system, but it's about colonies that live in the asteroid belt, colonies that live on Mars, and each one has their own accents, like
space
that are
accents.
Space accents, and they do well for setting putting down the setting for that. And this one is just a mix of. I mean, one of my notes here is that I didn't understand anybody in the first half of the movie except
the
for
French
Freddie Prinze and SLC Punk. I couldn't understand a single damn word they were saying. Like everybody is from Eastern Europe in the first half of the movie.
Yeah, Matthew Lillard and Freddie Prinze are on their way to like this big command ship or whatever, piloted by like a civilian pilot. And this dude has like a thick French accent. It's ridiculous. Like we can't understand this guy at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're trying to make a point, but they're making it too well.
Yeah, that's Checky Cario, who is I guess a character actor of some renown, playing Commodore James Paladin Taggart.
Taggart. Taggart's such a
James
great name.
James Taggart.
I love that name.
Yeah. Taggart. Also the name of the cop in Beverly Hills Cop.
Yeah.
Great character in that
Taggart.
Series of movies too. Taggart.
But he's too French for that name. I don't like it.
Hugh, you were mentioned. So this cast is pretty diverse, but that's balanced out by the fact that it's like the clichéest of 90s movie love triangle stuff. Not love triangle, but
it's not really a triangle, but it's a will they won't they, she's the boss, like she can't, she's not supposed to like this, like that kind of bullshit stuff.
Yeah,
I mean as soon as they have any kind of interaction, that's like grounds for dismissal in these days and times of the Me Too movements.
Mm-hmm. But we're at this point in the movie, we're so far beyond that, we've come back around.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
Now the women are on top, literally at one point in this movie.
Meow.
They get to boss the dudes around.
Yes. I mean, she's also lieutenant, which is also odd.
Well, lieutenant commander. Come on, give her
the commander of the lieutenants. She's the wing commander.
Yes.
She is. She is the wing commander. We're talking about Sassafras Burroughs over here.
Sassafras DeSanto, or whatever her name is the
Lieutenant Commander Jeanette Angel Devereaux.
Devereaux, that's right. She is the titular character. She is the wing commander.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, everybody else is just like the wing peon, or the wing lieutenant.
They also go back and forth between saying lieutenant and lieutenant, and that bothered me.
Like, I mean, did this come down from English army names or
and
American
it wasn't
army
even
names?
Like
just
the English guy. The English guy wasn't even saying lieutenant. It was horrible. Yeah. It was just
English guy David Suchet, aka Hercule Poirot.
Is he the captain that dies? Ish.
Captain Lawrence Jason Sansky.
Yeah, his bled, his head bled a tiny bit, and that meant he was dead.
Well, PG-13, so you know they gotta keep things mild. I don't know. You know, I'm with Todd in that. You know, a ton of stuff happens in this movie. A ton of people die. But I was never really clear on what was happening, except that they're fighting the Kilrathi, which, you know, in the PC game series, which I've not played, the Kilrathi are like these warlike cat people. But in this movie, they do not look that cat-like. So
no, they're like lizard cats. They're like a little bit of both.
Yeah. They reminded me of those weird hairless cats that people get.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, this is... They also don't show them that much, which is probably for the best because they look like crap.
So, yeah, they kind of limited their screen time. But I do appreciate that, from what I could tell, this is... The majority is just practical effects in this movie, which I do appreciate.
Well, I mean, the
superimposed explosions, but...
I mean, the space stuff, there's a lot of CGI in the space stuff, but most of the ground stuff's definitely practical, like those weird lizard cats.
Yeah, I would appreciate if they were good, but this is bad / boring. So it's like, who cares? Like this, I don't know. The budget for this is $30 million, which is, I don't know. It's kind of lower budget as far as like a sci-fi space movie goes.
No, it's also 20 years ago.
Well, for comparison's sake, so all I thought about while I was watching this was, man, I want to watch me some Starship Troopers instead.
Oh, yeah.
100%. Oh, yeah. Yeah. No doubt. Yeah,
which is also, you know, questionable whether it's a good movie, but that is an entertaining movie.
No, it is a good movie because it's satire.
Okay. Sure.
If you take it on its surface, it's a stupid... corny war movie, but it's really actually saying a lot.
Yes, I think the director, Verhoeven, he's clearly coming at it from that point. I don't think the actors are in on it.
Probably
which is part of what makes it kind of weird and kind of funny. But even for comparison,
I bet NPH, Neil Patrick
NPH Harris, was in on it.
He picked it up, yes. But I think Gary Busey's son probably did not get this.
Oh, no, and Casper Van Diem, he for sure was playing it straight as he could.
Yes, and Casper Van Diem is also in all of the sequel movies, and those kind of play it straight. Like, they're just movies about killing bugs for the most part.
Well, yeah, it's the people that saw Starship Troopers eating popcorn with their mouth open that are going to go seek out the direct-to-sequel. Direct-to-video sequels.
Yes.
So, I mean, we don't have to appeal to them. It's fine. Mm-hmm. They'll just watch anything.
Yeah.
They'll just gloss over any satire in there anyway. No, yeah. No need to put the effort in. Just kill some bugs.
That's what I'm saying. Oh, no, that bug get squished, man. Send that bug into the drink.
Send him into that drink.
Well, yeah, we have a long history of liking movies where bugs and other creatures get killed, whether it's Starship Troopers or games like The Breach or FTL. A lot of buggos on that one.
There are some buggos there.
Space buggos.
But no, Wing Commander, just to me, it was just so boring. There were just so many scenes where people are just talking about the battle that's to come or the battle that happened.
Yes, yes, yes.
Like, for an action movie, there is not much action in this one.
That is a note I have. Well, there's very if you little enjoy, action.
Yeah, I mean, if you enjoy movies where you're looking at directly in the face of somebody in the cockpit of an airplane as they shake around in front of a camera, this is your movie.
They have to make this scene where Matthew Lillard / Maniac Marshall or whatever has to, like, do this stupid trick landing and, like, get in trouble just so there's, like, an action scene. Like, nothing else is happening. He's like, well, I've got to spin my plane around and go crazy and land on the ship. And, like, that's... They had to put that in there so there was an action scene before 50 minutes into the movie. Like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And he's also shocked that he's going to get in trouble after nearly murdering half of the half of the maintenance crew trying to land this plane. Like, the other person that lands next to him was like, uh-oh, here comes the officer.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I think that's before he gets his nickname, but you could almost picture him like some superior officer just screaming, maniac!
Exactly.
Like
slamming their fist on the desk.
Yeah, an allusion to Top Gun.
Is also a lot of Top Gun tropes that they shoved in here.
Yeah, by the way, Top Gun, $15 million to make that one. So,
oh, boy.
Well, that one just took place on Earth. They didn't go into space.
Yeah. They already had the setting. They didn't have to invent it.
Yeah.
That's also, what, 86?
Yes, 86.
Nice. Job Huel.
Is that the year of your birth?
Nope.
Oh.
But close.
So, yeah, Wing Commander.
So, yeah, every time they said kill Rathi, I thought they were saying Dothraki. I think it's known knowledge that George Jefferson Martin took the name from the Wing Commander series when writing the Icy Fires books.
It's an homage.
Exactly. He loved the cat people so much that he made them horse-worshipping wild people instead. So, speaking of other actors, we got Das Boot guy, Jürgen Prochnow.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic actor. He should not be in this. He's too good for it. He's the aforementioned racist against pilgrims guy, who, guess what? Don't know if you know this, but...
Does he get redeemed?
He's won over in the end. Yep.
Yep.
he's won over in the end.
Well...
Also,
speaking of Das Boot...
Oh, yeah.
Das Boot... This film has one of my favorite submarine tropes, is, shh, we got to be quiet.
Yes, space quiet. Submarine.
The space sonars can hear us if we're talking.
It's stupid. Yeah. Yeah. There's like another big battleship driving by. They're like, yay, they went for the decoy. And everyone's like, shh, they might hear us through space.
Through space,
through another ship.
Our 10 feet of metal plating. They might hear us talking.
Not only that, but the soundless vacuum of space. They might hear us. So yeah, another great bit part in this is Captain Panaka from episode 1 is, I think, the communications officer. That was a nice touch. I'm sure Captain, you guys know who that is. Captain Panaka.
Well, he's no Unkar Plutt. So
his name's actually close to Unkar in this movie. It is.
I'm just saying he's not a famous person that everyone would
know. No, he's not Unkar Plutt. So yeah, you have a point there. It's like Ubuntu or something.
Mm-hmm.
I really should have done research.
Lieutenant Ubuntu.
Ubuntu. Hugh Quarshie.
Hugh Quarshie. Mm.
Hugh Quarshie is a good Star Wars name. They should just let him keep it.
It is. You just let him use his own name.
They didn't even have to change Quarshie. It. Hugh Quarshie. Another great trope is they love like doing callbacks to things that were said earlier. Like, is that a suggestion or an order? I said that like six times. It became like super flirty. You're talking about his Wang commander.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And balls. A lot of talk about balls in this movie.
Yeah.
A lot of testicular
so
talk.
Many balls. Yeah.
If you just look at the quotes page for this movie on IMDb, it makes it seem like a better movie.
And control F balls, and there's like 18 matches.
Yeah. Rosie Forbes. You've got balls. Maniac, you should see him. Rosie, mine are bigger. Maniac, I've been told size doesn't matter. Rosie, she lied.
You should see them was my favorite line.
Yeah.
And there's like another 12 callbacks to balls, and it's wonderful.
Oh, man.
Oh, another great cliche. These are just all cliches. Right in the beginning when they're by that navigation computer and they want to destroy it before the Dothraki get to them. This dude, this like the captain or something, starts shooting this bulletproof glass, And that doesn't work. So he then takes the butt of his gun and tries to smash it. Well, the bullets were going to get through it, dude. I don't think you're going to do it either.
Everyone knows you can get more power using the butt of a gun than bullets.
Maybe I weakened it. Oh, that's amazing.
Although a lot of good tropes in here.
Oh, yeah. I will. Please.
One of them I caught on. It's in the previews, I think, even in the trailers. They have their own Matrix freezing rotating camera.
Oh, moment. They did. Yeah,
it happens when their ship goes through warp, and SLC Punk and his love interest make a pose, like they kick over the table and spill their tea, and during warp, and the camera spins around them, frozen in place.
Yeah, there is a very brief. Well, not very brief, but. Like that spin around camera shot, which maybe is like, I guess, was The Matrix 1998? I guess that happened before
98,
this.
Yeah.
So yeah, they probably just like knew that was a thing and put a super low budget version into this.
Oh yeah, you can tell like
it's
the transition into and out of that shot is just completely awkward.
They had probably like a third as many cameras shooting that, like to set up like around that one scene. And it's maybe like 3 seconds long. But it's something that they could put in the trailer that everyone thought was probably going to be like all over the place. Everyone's sitting there waiting for the spin around camera scene to come. Like a young Hillhouser sitting in the theater. Yeah, that was number two. It was Matthew Lillard and that spin around camera shot. that got my butt in the seat.
Oh, wow.
Even better, it's Matty Lil's in the spinning camera shot.
I know. Like I could have just left at that point.
I just like that.
I gotta go change my pants.
At this time in your life and in his career, Matthew Lillard was the reason you saw the movie.
He was a ticket seller. Yeah. He sold tickets. Oh my god.
Steve, watch
Scream again and you'll understand.
I have a similar one that's embarrassing now, but more unfortunately is for what he's done. For a while, like in the mid 2000s, I tried to see every movie Kevin Spacey was in.
Oh boy!
Because I saw The Usual Suspects, and I was like, oh man, he's real good at this. And then I saw Seven coincidentally, and I was like, oh man,
this guy's a great creepy actor.
Well, look, at least yours is like a actually renowned good actor who's been in great movies.
Mm-hmm.
Mine was the second killer in Scream.
he's at least had some good stuff on his IMDb.
Yeah.
It's not like, you know, if you were going to bat for Freddie Prinze Jr. here, that's much tougher.
Well, I mean.
Well, he doesn't have to act. He just has to stand there, right?
He doesn't do much acting in this, even though he's probably on the screen for 80% of the movie.
Yeah, he's not exactly there, a compelling.
He reads his lines. And he stands where he's supposed to. What more can you ask?
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's why you have to have. That's why you have to have SLC Punk in there to balance him out. And this is one of the movies in the series of their. What they call the Prince Lillard bromance?
Oh, do they?
So they've been in quite a few movies together, starting with "She's All That" from 1999.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
Wing Commander, of course. Summer Catch.
Oh,
where they
are
baseball players.
I gotta put that on the list.
And Scooby-Doo 1 and 2.
True. That's true. I keep forgetting he's Fred. Yeah.
Yeah, he is Fred, and that he's only been Fred in Scoob-Doo 1 and 2. He's been Fred in Scoob-Doo 1 and 2, but Matty Lills has been Shaggy in like every single Scooby-Doo franchise piece since that movie.
Well,
he does the voice of the cartoon, he does everything now.
Oh, he does the cartoon too?
Yeah, just to give credit where it's due, he's great in that role. He's perfect Shaggy.
Okay.
But also have this little fun fact about some habits that Freddie Prinze has. Just a little news snippet from May of 2002.
A little concerned.
Scooby-Doo stars fall out over poop prank.
Ooh, boy.
Pals Matthew Lillard and Freddie Prinze Jr. fell out on the set of summer movie Scooby-Doo over a foul-smelling practical joke. Prinze Jr. relieved himself in Lillard's trailer toilet during one of Lillard's days off, didn't flush, and then turned the heat up to make sure the stench would be unbearable when Lillard returned 24 hours later. Prinze Jr. admits that this is the fourth time he has played a similar prank on his pal. And until now, he has never been caught. I try to have fun on sets and loosen up. I went into his trailer after I had my morning coffee, and I did my business in his bathroom. It made me laugh. I left it for him, and I turned the heat up in his trailer, and then I left. It was there for a day, and then he showed up, and I was peeking out of my trailer, and he opened the door, and it looked like somebody had punched him dead in the face. The poor sap had to go in and clean it up, and he found out it was me, and he was a little upset. Lillard adds, "The worst thing was there was no water in the toilet." I didn't read this part yet. The worst thing is there was no water in the toilet.
Oh, God.
Unfortunately for Lillard, he'll never be able to get back at his pal because Freddy's pranks have made him fully aware of how cruel friends can be. Prinze Jr. adds, "People don't get me. I'm aware. I look around." And by the timing of this article, he married Sarah Michelle Gellar within months after this happened.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Fantastic. Wow. That's magical.
That is one that makes me like him even more.
Oh, I was going to say, I mean, that falling out means that the current Matthew Lillard joint is Good Girls. He is a cast member on that. It's a show with Christina Hendricks, Retta.
Okay. Aunt
Mae Whitman. It's on NBC. I see commercials for it all the time, and I'm like, that is a show. So,
I mean, the falling out also means we're probably not going to get Wing Commander 2.
Yeah, I know. I'm just waiting. I mean, it has been more than a decade.
Years. Yeah,
more than a decade since Scooby-Doo 2. I mean, they are primed and ready at this point to do a remake of Grumpy Old Men.
Oh, not a bad idea.
Yeah. So I did find a little bit more info on this one. So as part of the agreement between Electric Arts and the director, Chris Roberts, in regards to him leaving Electronic Arts, he was given contractual permission to make a movie based on the Wing Commander franchise.
Right.
So
yeah, I did notice because I wanted to look up what else the director did. And it turns out he directed all of the video games.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I'm like,
And there's also one other thing that is glaring on his IMDb with a video game crossover. And that is that he's the director for Star Citizen. So
that infamous game.
Yeah.
Which come out still.
Yeah, it's still not officially out. There's bits and pieces have been released.
Yeah, like I think the ship editor is available. Sounds worse. Like the fact that you can, you know, design your ship, but you can't, I don't think you can fly it yet. So and he's also a producer on a bunch of stuff I've not heard of. A TV show called Bug Smashers. And then 10 for the Chairman.
Might be producer and name only. He does have producer credit on a few pretty decent movies, but I think it's just his production company he started around when he kicked off this movie. He had to have a production company, so funded a few other joints.
Mm-hmm. Well, he was the executive producer for Who's Your Caddy? So that sounds like good fun.
Sure, it's great.
Starring Big Boy, Lil Wayne, Andy Milonakis.
Oh, that guy.
Ooh,
oh, Jeffrey what Jones. Happened to him? Oh, boy. I used to love Andy Milonakis.
And this came out in 2007, by the way.
Huh. Probably the tail end of Milonakis' run.
Oh, Terry Crews.
Oh.
Uh-oh, Jeffrey Jones.
Mm-hmm.
That's trouble.
It is now.
Troubling. There's a few decent movies on this list here. Lord of War, that was a fun movie. Nick Cage being Nick Cage.
Mm-hmm.
Lucky Number 11, just a fun little romp, little shoot 'em up.
One of my favorite titles of movie I have never seen.
Mm-hmm.
Lucky Number 11.
So this one, I don't know. I didn't have much more to add to this one. But Todd, I understand that there are some people that love this movie.
Yeah, I think we're all on the same page here. We don't really care for this one too much, but I have three reasons why Wing Commander is the most best movie of all time. Yeah, they're all fairly short and sweet. This one is written by Gary L. Teague in August of 2018, and he wrote, the title of his review is Serving God and Helping Others to Getting to Know Him Also.
Okay.
Oh.
I enjoy good science fiction movies, and this is one I really like. It has action, excitement, and laughter. 5 stars.
Huh. All right. Yep. Before you go on, Todd, real quick, have you played the game before, the game series at all?
Yeah, I have popped on them on a few times. Maybe we should mention the game because we did not mention the game. This episode we are dropping is going to pop up in people's news alerts. It's going to pop up in Chris Roberts' news.
It was an unrelated question, so it's okay.
But yeah, I've played it. It's just your standard space dogfighter. It shows its age. Not my cuppa.
Oh, never. Don't say that.
But it does have great cutscenes, and the way the story is presented is fun. All right. The next review is titled "Computer Game Movie."
Oh.
And I don't have the name here. I think this is an anonymous review, and it's in December of 2015. And they wrote the first and MIHO the best movie made from a computer game. 5 stars.
Huh. Okay.
Wow. That might be true. The first and best movie made from a computer game.
It's probably all things that are true.
Yeah, especially, I don't know, there's probably a Tron game for the PC, but, you know, I feel like that was more, I'm not even sure what came first. It was the movie that led to the games, right?
Correct, I think. I don't know. I'm not a huge Tron head.
Yeah.
Not a Tron nut. So this last one is titled "I Love This Movie," written by Suzanne in February of 2015, and Suzanne wrote, "I love this movie. Today my husband of 43 years popped in the disc. I could hear the menu music play over and over. It's Wing Commander. What a great Valentine's gift. The movie still holds up after 16 years, and it's great fun. 5 stars."
Wow.
Wait, so 16
they
years
know how to is, live.
This is 2015 she's posting this?
Yeah. Is that from
February 14, 2015?
And they've been married 43 years, so they've probably got to be 63 at the minimum. Like,
yeah.
Wow. This is like the 70-year-old lady popping in Wing Commander. Oh man.
I was gonna say is that review from S. Geller, but apparently it must not be if they're 70 years old.
Well, I don't think she was married 43 years ago.
Her husband knows how to get her going. Knows how to turn her engine on.
Get that menu music.
Get that menu music playing in the background.
Oh honey. I put in Wing Commander. It's going to be a special night.
The DVD menu music's about to repeat.
I know.
It's on a 35-second loop.
In a way, I'm envious that they can be happy from that, because that is one of the most infuriating things to me ever. Like,
oh, hearing, I hate it so much.
Hearing the DVD menu music repeat.
Ugh. Like when someone's like fallen asleep and left it on, and so like it ends and just goes back to the menu, and you just want to strangle them.
Yes.
It's the worst.
It happened in college all the time.
Like, yeah, that's a constant college experience.
Yeah.
Because everyone's like, so tired from studying that they put a movie on and fall asleep.
Yes. And then I would be able to hear it from my room downstairs. Exactly. So
yeah, it's never yourself. It's always your roommate or some other asshole.
Yeah, there was five of us in this house, so I'd have to trudge up upstairs. There's also a TV downstairs.
Turn the TV off.
So,
oh man.
Yeah.
It's a great universal experience.
Well, I had not a 1-star Yelp review. This is a 4-star Yelp review. So this is for Wing Commander, which was in Miami, Florida. Donald T writes, not our Donald T. Not the press.
This is a wing restaurant.
Yes, a
called
different
Wing
Donald
Commander.
T.
Oh.
He didn't say it, but I guess so.
Yes,
I think you're burying the lead here, Todd.
Different Donald T from Miami writes, closed. I love the wings with Caribbean sauce and the sliders, but Bill and Allie decide to shut down the Wing Commander operation. They now operate the trailer as Crepes Outdoors with a wild new tie-dyed theme on the wrap. 5-star.
Oh,
I thought it was 4 stars.
But they're closed. Well, this place overall, I didn't notice, it had 4 stars overall.
That's confusing.
But closed as of August 2011. So.
Too bad.
Yeah. Could have. Went to Wing Commander. So, actually, his is the only 5-star review for this place. So,
wait, is it 5 or 4? You keep saying both. I don't understand.
His review is 5 stars, but the average is 4 stars.
Okay. Okay.
Sorry. I know it really affects our enjoyment.
And, it doesn't affect enjoyment. It affects my sanity. I didn't know. I didn't understand what was happening.
Well, we should move along. Huel, I don't think there's a manual for this one, correct?
No, I probably should have found like the DVD cover or something, but I just saw that now. So unfortunately, no, there is no manual for this game. Movie, damn it. That explains a lot. Yeah, no manual found, sorry.
Well, and because it is a movie, I could not rate it on the Herzog hierarchy. So instead, I rated it on the Roger Ebert thumbs up, thumbs down scale, and I gave it thumbs down. So
yeah,
hot take.
Can't really argue there.
Well, he's dead, so I can steal it.
Right.
So Todd, I don't know. I do have a guess from Huel here of what you may have rated this. Did you rate it?
I did. I did precise calculations. I did a lot of measurements, and I'm gonna give Wing Commander a DuckTale scale rating. And the DuckTale scale has two primary factors, those being nostalgia and, for a movie, rewatchability. Nostalgia. Not much nostalgia. I mean, I did, as I mentioned a little bit ago, I did pop in the games a few times on the PC. Not my cuppa, as they say. No nostalgia. I enjoy seeing the cover art for the games and seeing the cat people and Mark Hamill on the covers. Not much nostalgia for Freddy Prinze or SLC Punk themselves. Never saw this movie until this week. So, no nostalgia in that regard. Rewatchability, never watching this again. Never. It's like we've said, it's just an average, less than average movie.
It's so generic and forgettable.
Like, I would say it's not good enough to be average. It's just a little slightly worse than average.
It's like the worst thing you can be. You're either like great or like so bad that you're memorable, but it's just nothing memorable about this.
Right. Exactly. So rewatchability is not going to clock too high. So I'll factor those in and give Wing Commander, the movie, a 0.06.
The tension and the anticipation was killing me.
Oh, so close.
0.07.
Ooh.
Oh, that is painful. I thought we were gonna hit one early this year, but I guess not. Okay.
Oh, so close. Right. Almost.
Commandings.
I don't know. Huel, was there anything else you wanted to say about this one here?
Back to cliches, because there's so many. At one point, the hull breaches, or the door or whatever, so there's a big vacuum and sucking everything out. So Freddie Prinze Jr. is holding on with one hand onto this bar on the ground. And it takes... Yes. Matthew Lillard wraps a cable around himself and goes out to rescue him. And so apparently both Freddie Prinze Jr.'s one hand and also like six people just dragging back the cable are stronger than the vacuum of space. I thought that was interesting.
Well, I mean, this is one of the taglines for this movie is 100% scientifically accurate, right?
Yes, exactly. So it just takes like six dudes pulling on a cable to drag them back. And Matthew Lillard has these like gnarly injuries around his torso where the cable's digging into him because it's sucking him out the door. And Freddie Prinze is just, you know, his hand's fine. There's no problem.
Space
there.
Is trying so hard to suck them out.
So hard. You could do this weird gobbledygook where the pilgrims could withstand the vacuum of space or something. I don't know.
That would have been cool.
They could have at least said that, you know, because they said they had like navigational powers and they did.
Yeah, but I mean, as it is, the basis, like their biggest power is they can do a few, you know, long division things in their head.
Super quick.
You don't need a calculator.
Jump through black holes or whatever. Yeah. So that was fun.
At least in the, you know, the Dune series, they have the race of the navigators who are, they're high on the spice, to get the spice. And the reason why they're able to navigate in warp is because they can predict the future a few seconds ahead, so they can dodge around whatever they're flying through. And at least that gives some kind of background to how they have their power. It's not like, oh, I can, you know, I memorize my times tables.
I practice them with flashcards. Yeah, so just dumb scenes like that. They're not even fun. They're just stupid.
Yeah, they're boring,
mostly.
Well, Todd, was there anything else you wanted to add here?
No, I think we hit all my notes on this one.
Oh.
Oh, hey, one thing. One more trope. Hmm. One more trope. Why is everything so dirty in space? Why so dirty? Why'd you get a vacuum out, man?
They really should. Maybe some
dust. The only movie, like the only movie I've seen that's, you got to keep things nice and clean in space. The only one that's really done that is like 2001, where everything is nice and clean. That's not how things are in space. The dirt would get sucked off by space immediately and be nice and clean by itself.
Pretty much.
Oh. At least some of these, like Star Wars and Dune, they have the excuse that they're going to these filthy planets. Wing Commander, do we ever see them get on a planet anywhere? Like, doesn't it all take place in space?
Yeah. They're next to Mars at one point, but that's about it.
Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, they're always on ships. Yeah.
Yeah. Also,
Freddie Prinze playing pranks all around the set.
Mm-hmm.
It's true.
Just because you guys have mentioned some tropes, this movie has like five pages on TV tropes.
Wow.
Just because I'm assuming because they use so many cliches in this movie.
Basically, yeah.
So, like, there's just a bunch. But we should move along here to the email portion of the show. Todd, did you receive any emails?
Unfortunately, the vacuum of space sucked out on my mail, so I don't have any right now.
Oh. Well, all right, then.
Sucked it clean.
Sucked all of that dust off. Well, Huel.
Yes.
Any emails from you?
There's an email I received that I will read right now. Dear YPB, as a lover of all things Disney, I loved that you did a game on Mickey's Castle of Illusion last week. All my kids love Disney, all five of them that are 6 years apart in age. I put Disney stickers all over our van and wear exclusively Disney t-shirts so everyone knows what a great fan and adult baby I am. It seems like more of them should have their own game. If you could give a Disney character their own video game, what would it be? And that's from DisneyMom74XOXO@yahoo.com.
Oh.
Yep. So, I mean, a bunch have been made already. Of course, we have Mickey. We got DuckTales.
Mm-hmm. Got Chip. We covered The Little Mermaid. We covered Aladdin.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, maybe one of those.
Beauty and the Beast. We've covered Beauty and the Beast.
Spin-off characters.
Yeah, we'll have to cover Pocahontas at some point.
We'll have to. There's no way around it.
Oh, yes.
Episode 384.
Oh, please.
We've run out of everything else.
Probably going to be sooner than that. So,
213.
What was their ask was, what Disney side character would we make a game on?
A Disney character, yeah. Probably a side character, because those are the ones that don't have one yet.
Mm-hmm.
Here's mine. Dynasty Warrior starring Mulan. Slice and dice some fools in China. Chop up an army.
Chop up an army.
Nice. I'm gonna cheat with my answers here. I would go with the Black Cauldron, which is that's actually like a series.
Is that a King Arthur one?
It's the Prydain series of books.
Yeah, it's kind of like
Stone. I'm sorry.
It's kind of like it does have a Sword in the Stone element in the first book, I think it is. But it's kind of like
it's like a story of a lowly pig herder that rises to power.
It's kind of like a young adult version of The Lord of the Rings. Like, you can clearly, the guy wrote him, Lloyd Alexander, you can tell he was kind of channeling that, but aiming it more at like a teen or younger audience. Like, I read those books growing up and I was like, oh, this is fun. These are good little reads. And then I saw them, and the movie is like when Disney was doing a whole bunch of crappy movies in the 80s. The movie is not so great. But the other suggestion I would have is that Robin Hood movie where they're all animals for some reason. Like, just make that into a game.
Oh, yeah, we know why you'd want that.
Do not Google image search anything about that movie.
Oodalale, oodalale.
We just put that disclaimer on basically anything we talk about. Do not Google search it. Image search, specifically.
Do not Google image search any animated character we talk about on this show.
Basically, yeah.
It's always bad.
Do not do it.
Yes, do not search for Maid Marian.
Well, that one, maybe.
I think she's a fox in the movie.
You're telling me.
Huel, did you have one?
I don't know, let's make a goofy game or something. I don't know.
Oh, there is one.
Sure.
There's a Goof Troop game. I think it's actually supposed to be good.
Yeah, I'm sure. Donald isn't in DuckTales, right? It's all Huey, Dewey, and the uncle. Uncle Pennybags, what's his name? Scrooge. Scrooge McDuck.
You know, I think Huey, Dewey, and Louie do make an appearance. The maid, I forgot her name, Mrs. Beasley or whoever she is, Mrs. Beakworth makes an appearance. Of course, Launchpad. I don't think Donald makes an appearance in the DuckTales game.
Okay, give him one.
Donald is not in DuckTales, but he does have his own games.
Okay.
I found him when researching Castle of Illusion. I don't think they're super popular. I can't think of any. Nobody really jumps to mind for me that I would actually want to play the game. So, I received one mail this week, guys.
All right.
Hey guys, I was just wondering, when is Todd going to host the show? Also, because he's the only one not living in sin because he's married and has children, does his wife play games at all? Best wishes, John David Booter.
Ooh. Ooh. Wow.
Wow. The talented documentarian slash podcaster.
Who's never
slash made, filmmaker, yeah. Who's never made a documentary.
Never made a podcast or a film. Wow, that's an honor, honestly, that he wrote in.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Does my wife play games? No, not at all. Not at all. No interest.
I mean, she's dabbled in the Smash, right?
No. She picked up a control and held it since we were all playing one time.
Okay.
But zero interest at all. Anything game-related. Not a board game, not a card game, nothing. Not even a Candy Crush.
Wow.
Zero interest.
This seems like an interesting match.
It's fine with me. Wow. I get all the devices to myself after the kids go to sleep. All the devices to myself.
Okay. Okay.
I'm a little surprised about the no board game thing either. Like not even like a Monopoly or like a
no,
like
not at all.
School board game.
Wow. No old school board game, no new school, nothing. And we're heavy boarders in my family. We lay down board all the time. We lay
throw
down board constantly. We throw board.
Oh, you want to go throw board?
Yeah.
Wow. Huh.
She's pretty much the only one in my family that does not play a game at all.
Mm. She's too busy plotting bank robberies and sneaking out while you guys are distracted with your toys. So. Good for her.
Yeah.
Well, let's move along to the ask portion of the show. Did you get an ask there, Todd?
Yeah, I do have a quick one. We're going right on the money here, so time-wise. So let's do a quickie, and somebody needs our help, let us ask the Sweet Boys. Alrighty, send in all your life questions to parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com, and we will answer them for you, give you life advice, and keep you anonymous. And this is from an anonymous, and they wrote, the subject of their ask is, my grandma just shrunk my Supreme t-shirt. What do I do?
What?
The t-shirt was a lot of money, and now my grandma washed it, and now it shrunk. My clothes never gotten stunk until now. I feel like I wasted a lot of money. My grandma said she can fix it, but can she really? Are there ways to unshrink a shirt?
Hmm.
What is a Supreme t-shirt?
Good question. Maybe I should have looked this up. I have
like
no idea.
The Supremes, the singing group?
Yeah.
It is a clothing brand, I believe, and is not based on the soul singer.
That's a shame. Singers.
Yes.
Supreme is known worldwide as the best streetwear brand.
Mm-hmm. It is an American skateboarding shop and clothing brand established in New York City in April 1994. Caters to skateboarding, hip-hop, and rock cultures.
What, these t-shirts start at $100. What is going on with this?
You know, if I was dumb enough to spend that much money on a t-shirt, I'd be kind of mad too. But also, maybe this is a lesson, dear writer. Don't do that.
Don't spend $100 on a t-shirt?
Or if you do, move out of your grandma's house. That's step two. Use that t-shirt money to save up for your own place. And then it won't happen again.
Mm-hmm.
I think we solved that issue.
Wow. Yeah, that is a quick...
That's one of the quickest...
Quick one, bud. Here's, you know, I have an alternate answer.
Okay, yeah. Just give them options.
Go on a binge. Go on a binge. Eat some tubs of ice cream. Slam some dummies. Cram a few burgers. Really, really distend yourself over the course of a week. Slide that shirt over. And then once you've pulled that bad boy over you, go for a jog. Stretch it out a little. Get it some air. And then go back on a diet. Lose all that weight, and you'll soon find that shirt fits perfectly.
Huh.
Oh.
Okay. You know what? That's probably the better way to go.
Yeah.
Oh, someone else agrees.
Mm.
Yeah.
He just heard me talking about hamburgers.
Oh. Very, very interested participant. Well, we helped that person. Todd, was there anything else you wanted to say before we signed off here?
Sure. You see, it's an ambush. Five or six fighters hide behind rocks the size of your swollen head and pants. A Kilrathi gangbang.
That is literally a line from the movie. Kilrathi,
yes. PG-13 movie. Good for the kids. Huel, was there anything else you wanted to say?
You know, I'm happy to do the show with you guys since you're not a bunch of disgusting pilgrims.
Oh, wow.
Ooh. And 128th pilgrim.
Well,
actually,
that's enough. That's enough. That's fine.
My mother was a pilgrim.
No!
She came over on the Mayflower. Well, on that note, here's a snifferoo from next week's game.